What is up, boys and girls? Everything in between, it's Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited. That's how I am.
I'm excited as well because we're doing something a little different than usual, different than the norm here on Bear With Us. Same theme, same goal, to help save your love lives. But we're bringing in the heavy artillery here in a matter of minutes. Dr. Lisa Paz, a world-renowned relationship and sexuality expert. She does couples and individual counseling, so she's going to answer some of your questions, those of you who were helpful enough and felt so inclined to fill the Bear With Us mailbag, bearwithuspod@gmail.com. She's going to answer some of your questions. She may even answer something that's been ailing me.
Oh.
And it's not a sex question.
Oh.
I feel like my sex game's on point right now.
As of late.
It's more of the important stuff, the more important stuff, the communication aspect of our relationship. Because you and I have had a few struggles recently.
Yes, because you talk down to me, but you don't think you do. And it's all in the delivery. He's like, just listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to how I say it. Oh, really? Is that how things work? Just listen to how you listen to the content. Don't listen to the delivery.
I feel like the content in any message is 900 times more important than
no,
the delivery.
No, you can say, no, we're not even going to get into a spat. We're going to ask.
Almost got into a spat before we even got into the studio.
Well,
because
the
you didn't
time,
like how I worded a question.
This week, no, how you told me about the question. It's how you talk to me. It's not about what you say. I didn't care about the question because we're talking about how we're going to open up this interview with our guest today. And he's like, I think I'm going to word like this. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, I didn't understand what he meant, how he was going to ask this question. And I was like, I was thinking something like this. He's like, well, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm just wording it differently. And it's like, okay, if you're saying it like that, that's just what I'm saying, but I'm just wording it differently. Or, well, I'm saying it that way, babe. I'm just wording it differently. That's two completely different ways of saying it.
There
Hello.
Was no anger. There was no malice. There was no aggression. There was no disappointment. No
oh
disdain.
Oh my God, it was very aggressive.
It
but
was
you're
not
so unaware.
Anywhere near aggressive, particularly because I'm still mostly existing in my Maui state of mind.
Ugh,
despite
only.
What you like to think.
If only. Despite what you like to think. Sometimes I think you're not very aware of yourself. There's no self-awareness here.
I've got all the self-awareness.
Much like earlier today, this is what I do with on a daily basis, you guys. Okay, so Matt and I were having a conversation about how after we're done this podcast today, we're going to go to the grocery store because we're going to have a little barbecue tomorrow, right? So we record at Studio Me in East Liberty, and he's like, yeah, we'll just pop right over to Market District. I was like, oh, I was just thinking maybe we go to Giant Eagle over there. And he was like, yeah, Market District. And I'm like, oh, well, there's also a Giant Eagle right by the Target. So I didn't know which one you were talking about. He's like, Leah, Market District is owned by Giant Eagle. And I'm like, I'm well aware of this fact, Matt. But there is a Giant Eagle by Target. He's like, no, there's not. How much do you want to bet? I'm like, I'll bet anything.
You made the bet.
I made
you
a bet.
You offered the
yes,
bet.
Yes, I
you
said, I will bet
so
you.
Confident.
Because I knew it. I said, I will bet you. And you're like, okay. I said, you have to give me a 30-minute foot rub tonight if I am right. And he's like, okay, okay. He looks it up. He's like, oh, there is a Giant Eagle over there, but I've never been to it. I didn't even know it was there. Okay, well, I've never been to the moon, but guess what? There's a f-ing moon,
there's
right?
There's a big difference between Giant Eagle, a local Pittsburgh grocery chain, and the freaking moon,
but
Leah.
Babe, I've never been there, but I know it exists.
Right, and I know there are, I can literally name about 40 locations of the supermarket in the greater Pittsburgh area. I was born and raised here. They are everywhere. Very rarely is there one like a block down the street from another one.
But it's there.
It is. Okay.
And I won the bet.
You did win the bet, but I think you actually, you gave up the right to the gift with the argument you tried
to start
in the car.
No, because then afterwards I go, babe, I was right, right? And you're like, well, I've never been to it, so I don't know. You can't just even in the moment be like, you know what? You were right. I was wrong. He can never admit it, even when he is wrong. Just like have some humility. This is our entire theme of our podcast.
I would like to draw attention to the fact that maybe your misconception of how I'm speaking to you is a result of your ever more frequent passive aggression.
Oh.
Toward me.
Okay.
Case in point being today when you were in the refrigerator and you said, babe, did you know that you can refill the Brita water filter pitcher tank thing that we have in the refrigerator? And I said, yeah. And it was your, so you thought, clever way of saying, hey, idiot, fill up the water after you drink. Except for the fact that I have not utilized that apparatus in any capacity this week. Since before I left to go out of town. And you were trying to pin it on me.
It was
and trying
a joke.
To, oh, oh.
Because it's actually a quote from Friends. I've gotten Matt, you guys, Matt watches Friends with me every night now. There's this episode of Friends where Monica, Chandler moves in. And Monica, and you know, she's like OCD, crazy clean freak. She goes, Chandler, oh my God, did you nail the boxes to the ground? What a good idea, nailing the boxes to the ground. And he was like, I didn't nail the boxes to the ground. She's like, oh, so then they can move. It's just like, again, a passive aggressive way, but it was a joke. Obviously, it is what it is. I was joking with you. It was a joke. It was a joke. Just like the book that
oh, that
not
was a
go
joke
with our
too?
Decor. Our, this book that Matt, okay, I have this Chanel bat, this Chanel book, and then there's a Tom Ford book. They're decor. It's decor. It's goes
the coffee under, table books.
Yeah, and it goes on this table that you have when you first walk in the house. It's right there. And Matt has this book that's like the war on something on top of it. And I go, oh, babe, can I put this away? Like, this doesn't go with
it,
the decor.
It's not about decor. It's a book that I'm reading that is about current events and human behavior. And it's actually
it
a very
somewhere?
Interesting.
Yes, does it have to go on top of the cute decor?
How dare I put a book on top of the two other books? What the hell must I be on? How dare I?
I know. I was half.
You said, can
with
it
you.
Go? Can it? Can like, it go, can somewhere go somewhere else? Somewhere? Can I put it in a shelf?
And this is Matt's reaction.
This reaction is much better if you're watching on YouTube because those.
He
listening.
Was just like.
I was baffled.
And I knew, and I just knew it. I knew that was going to piss you off, and I kind of just did it as a joke on purpose, to just kind of see what you would say.
I think this all boils down to the fact that you're jealous.
Jealous of what?
Jealous of the fact that last night I was able to enjoy a frozen pizza. Before
oh,
bed.
We're going to get into this now.
Get into what?
The pizza debate.
There's no pizza debate.
There is
a debate. I made a pizza because I was hungry, and you were mad at me because you did not want to eat the pizza.
Yeah, I said, why do you have to make pizza? I already ate dinner. I ate a delicious, healthy poke bowl.
Got new chairs in the studio. I'm just testing them out.
And he, of course, had to make pizza, and I already ate dinner. I didn't want to eat the pizza, but the
did
pizza's
I eat
out. No. Okay. Did I offer you a poke bowl?
You did.
Yes.
And I declined because I didn't want a poke bowl.
Right, which is fine.
So I made a pizza. What I else? Feel like I was being a very responsible adult.
No, but then I was going to eat the pizza. Obviously, that's my fault. I understand it. It is what it
Your
is.
Your lack of self-control is
no
not
self-control.
My fault.
I actually do have pretty good self-control.
You have great self-control.
I knew I would have wanted a bite of this pizza. But that's besides the point.
What?
The point is... It wasn't even a DiGiorno. What the hell kind of pizza was it?
It was whatever was on sale in the end cooler at the supermarket
if
when
you
I went
buy
to the
frozen
groceries.
Pizza, you buy DiGiorno.
Why?
Because you just do.
Have you been to the frozen pizza aisle lately?
And I get DiGiorno.
There are 27,000 options for frozen pizza.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't believe I'm married to someone who doesn't choose DiGiorno.
DiGiorno? That's like saying, oh, I want a good burger. I'm going to go to McDonald's.
Right. It's a frozen pizza.
Right.
That's the equivalent.
Right.
It's fast food, basically. But I guess that's a frozen pizza's equivalent of fast food when it comes to pizza.
I like rising crust.
Yes, they have it on DiGiorno.
I know. I'm sure they do. I'm sure DiGiorno has plenty of options. I have nothing against DiGiorno. But the fact is, I was at the supermarket doing my grocery shopping because we don't shop together ever because it's basically disastrous when we do. I was shopping for things that I needed. I always like to have a frozen pizza around for standby purposes, just in case you want poke bowls and I want pizza. I got that base covered.
I think it's a good idea.
I don't
to
think
always
it's any of your
pizza.
Goddamn business what brand of frozen pizza I eat when you won't even eat it.
My mind is just blown. I can't even believe I'm.
Hey, here. I'm gonna do you one better here because this isn't even like oh he was being cheap or trying to skimp on this was 39 cents cheaper than DiGiorno. No, I will often pay exponentially more for a frozen pizza if it looks appetizing at the time. I was walking through the store; they had a display with Culinary Club or whatever the hell it was. I don't know. I think it was something like that. But it was very clearly an off-brand. It was on sale. It was probably like $4. And I went, It's frozen pizza. It can't be bad. Even when it's bad, it's still fine.
You know what pizza I can't stand?
What?
Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
What does Chuck E. Cheese have to do with anything?
It's just disgusting. It's not good. It tastes like SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, and then the good news is whenever you're done eating SpaghettiOs on bread, you can dive into a disgusting ball pit full of snot and boogers and spit and wet diaper.
Why did we think Chuck E. Cheese was cool when we were kids?
We didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah. Did you have a DZ by you?
Discovery Zone? Yeah.
I was a DZ girl. Like, Chuck E. Cheese. DZ was where it's at. It was a little bit cooler, I think. Like, a lot more options. Like, it was bigger, better, faster, stronger.
Even at the age of 12, you were a size queen.
Ew, babe. Don't say that.
I was talking about the size of the playground, pervert.
Y'all don't say that.
What was that?
Y'all don't say that.
What does that mean?
You don't know what that's from.
No.
Oh, my God. My husband doesn't get DiGiorno. He doesn't know Step Brothers? Are you fucking kidding
me? What did you say?
Y'all don't say that.
I've seen Step Brothers 96,000 times. I can quote most of it. What part am I missing?
When, I can't remember the names, Brandon and Dale, right? Brendan.
God, you love Step Brothers so much, you don't even know Brendan's name.
And he said, like, my mother and I do this or whatever. I forget which one it was that says it, but I think they're when they're in the bed, like they're in their beds. I'm going to put a bar of soap in my pillow sack and I'm going to hit you over the head with it type thing. And he said something like, my dad and I do this or my mom and I do this. And he's like, hey, y'all don't say that. It's a thing.
That is probably the worst quote poll from any movie.
Oh, that
is
God, one of the most. Know that.
That's one of the most quotable movies of all time.
Y'all don't say that. People know that. People know the quote.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Keep your liver spotted hands off my mother. She's a saint.
Listen, I'm running out of steam here. Thank God we have a.
I'm so excited.
A life raft to keep us afloat. Hopefully, she can shed a little light onto you. Easy for us to say. Easy for me to say. The bear with us listeners. Hopefully, Dr. Paz can help y'all out if we have been unable to solve what ails you thus far.
Speaking of that, I think it's important. I think I'm going to ask one of the questions that we didn't have a podcast last week, but the week prior, we had a good question about the guy who's pregnant, the wife who just had a baby. They haven't had sex. I want to ask her about that because I feel like we gave our opinion, but we're no experts.
What happens if Dr. Paz shows up, she gets on the line and makes you and I both realize we don't know shit about shit and that our podcast and our advice has all been a farce?
I mean, we get updates and people listen to our advice and take our advice and it works.
That's true. So, I guess we wouldn't be like FDA approved, but we're still like a reasonable alternative.
Exactly. I love that for us. I'm so excited.
I'm excited. Let's not waste any more time. For the first time ever on Bear With Us, please welcome the spectacular Dr. Lisa Paz. Dr. Paz, first of all, thank you so much for donating some of your time to us here at Bear With Us, and hopefully you can actually help some of the people that we have undoubtedly screwed up with our unqualified relationship advice.
By looking at you guys and just a little bit of talking, I'm doubting that you're screwing anyone up. I feel like probably most people could learn from you, too. I'm super happy to be here.
We're so excited to have you. Finally, we have an expert on the show, so I'm excited.
If you wouldn't mind, would you tell us a little bit about yourself to everybody listening and where they can find you, what exactly it is that you do with your life.
Yes, for sure. So my name is Dr. Lisa Paz. I'm in private practice in Miami, Florida, and I specialize in marriage and sex therapy. And so I have a master's in marriage and family therapy and clinical psychology, and then a doctorate in clinical sexology. So I love to talk to people about sort of all things sex and relationships in the positive and when their body breaks down in the negative. And what else? That's it. I'm a mom of three, and I've been with my husband 20 years, and still trying to keep it hot, and that's it.
Love it.
You practice what you preach, then.
I try. 6 out of 7 days, I am trying.
Six? Did you hear that, babe? 6 days. You better step up your game. I'm just saying.
I didn't say he's getting it 6 days. I said he's trying.
She's trying 6 out of 7 days.
Right on. Well, each and every week, we usually dive into our Bear With Us mailbag and do our best to answer various questions pertaining to love, sex, relationships. Our tenets that have worked for us and we preach on this show are honesty, communication, and sex. And sort of, we've added accountability as sort of a number four. I don't know if we've made it official yet.
No, it's just kind of like an alternative.
Yeah. But those have been the tenets that we try to stick to and focus on. So feel free to correct us, being the resident professional in the conversation today.
All right, I absolutely will. Although I feel like that is the solid sort of trifecta of how to keep something stable and good, right? Like the honesty. I like the accountability piece as the fourth one. I feel like we should move from triangle to square. Are you guys practicing what you're preaching?
To the best of our ability.
We do try. I think the biggest one that we struggle with is communication.
Yes.
The honesty, really? The sex is great, but it's the, I mean, we communicate all the time, but it's how we communicate that is our biggest issue.
I would agree with.
Like, just when it gets bad, like when shit goes bad, the communication gets hard, but other than that, you communicate well?
I'm going to give you the most recent example because it just happened before we stepped into the studio.
We were discussing
how to sort of steer the interview, and I gave my take on things, and she had a different point of view.
No, I didn't even have a different point of view. It was, I wasn't understanding the way he was wording the question. I was like, I just don't understand what you mean by that. Because like, he was using the word misconception. And to me, I just was like, what do you mean misconception? Why are you using that word? And he was like, well, I'm sorry. This is just how I'm going to say it. Because I gave my opinion of what I thought the first question should be, but I don't do this for a living. He is a podcaster. He knows what he's doing. He's really good at it. And most of the time I'm just kind of floundering around, like just kind of offering my little jokes here and there. So I definitely always rely on him for steering the ship, but I just didn't understand what he meant by misconception. And he's like talking down to me, I feel, rather than talking to me. And he doesn't see it as talking down. He's like just explaining it in a very logical sense. But to me, it feels like he's talking down.
And from my point of view, I tend to be very fact focused, no matter what it is. I try to remove emotions to the best of my ability about anything and say, hey, this is XYZ. This is what I'm going to address. This is how I'm going to address it. And this is how I'm going to move on from it. That's where we clash. She sometimes tends to get a little bit more in her feelings, and I don't have any intention to talk down to her or make her feel less than, but it happens. And then she gets really upset, and then it's just a, you know, vicious cycle.
I kind of love this example because I feel like it illustrates classical male and female miscommunication and communication. There was all this research that was done that looked at like why guys move towards a communication interaction and why women do. And for women, the top three reasons were to feel understood, to let you know they understand you, and to like feel part of a group, to feel connected. And for men, it was information exchange, problem solving, and a little bit of humor. And so like the classic examples in males and females are a woman will come in and be like, hey, I don't understand something, or I just need to vent, or I just want to process. And the man will come in and like ask a question that feels like he's just information seeking, but she's like, wait, what are you doing? Right. And then he'll try and either solve it or give his very factual point of view. And she's like, we're not connected. You and I are not connecting. And I feel like that, right. This plays out over and over again.
You nailed it.
100%. That's us.
See, baby, we're not that unique after all.
No. And I always say, I laugh because like, if you listen to women talk to each other, they can have like a whole interaction. Right. And it'll go nowhere, like zero. Right. And you'll get off the phone and be like, oh, I just feel so good. Right. And a guy will be like, okay, like bottom line it for me. Men are more efficient communicators, not necessarily as successful, but more efficient.
See that, baby? I'm efficient.
You're so efficient. And he always needs his ego stroked. So, I mean, if I don't
tell
him how great
here.
He is.
Get it out of my mouth. I was going to be like, it's not ego. It better be something else, Leah.
Well, don't even act like that's not it.
All right. Well, we've solved that problem as pertains to us. But Leah is sort of the gatekeeper of the Bear With Us mailbag. We put out calls all week for anybody to mail in with maybe their questions. And
did you want to ask your first question though, for the reason why we even got in our argument because of how you wanted to
out? we've worked through it. We got derailed there. In your experience, in your professional line, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you constantly run into regarding sexuality and relationships?
Yeah, this is a good one. Okay, so like top.
See, it was good.
That was good. You didn't like Leah didn't like the word misconception. top three, I chose top three, that women can come through penetration exclusively. 94% of women and upwards need clitoral stimulation. And I feel like while a lot of people, it's starting to become more buzzy that we know this, you would be surprised how many people still really, really, really believe that through just straight penetration, a woman can climax and climax relatively quickly. And so I would put that almost at the top of the list. Other misconceptions, I think, is that pornography is totally bad or that masturbation is totally bad. Both of those items have really, really healthy and adaptive qualities, I guess is the way to say it, to good sexuality if used well. And I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. And I think the other like biggest one is that good sex needs to mean penetration, and that actually there's like a wide variety of behaviors that can sort of tick the box of we're showing up for each other sexually. And particularly in long-term relationships, couples wind up very unintentionally, by the way, like in a routine, and usually a routine that like starts and ends in penetration, and it creates just a negative cycle. So I would put those as some of the biggest ones, I think.
Those are all very interesting. Not even
I was going to say, I feel like we could dive into all those and get a whole episode out.
For real.
We'll have to hit you up offline privately on that one.
Matt's like, wait, do you need the clitoris?
Yeah.
He's like, what is that?
There's so much I have to learn.
You're ridiculous. Okay, we'll go into some of the questions here that everyone wrote in. So question number one, honey. I'm a huge, let me go back. Okay. So I've been with my boyfriend for 12 years now, and I need some help spicing up our sex life for a couple reasons. One, we've been together for so long and it's always the same thing when we have sex. Two, we're always so silly and having fun with each other that I have a hard time turning off the silly switch and turning on the sexy switch. Do you have any advice? We have an amazing, healthy relationship, and I just love for our sex life to get back on track.
I feel like that second piece is so common in couples, whether it's the silly switch or just the familial switch. Like, we're so comfortable and familiar that it's hard to sort of like go to that place where you're like nasty and raunchy. I mean,
right.
But like that vibe, right? And so some of that is a decision and a momentum outside of the bedroom. So the couple that's like very flirtatious outside of the bedroom all week long, and not as a precursor just to sex, but like that they just walk by, they grab, they kiss with tongue, maybe they send a sexy picture, sexy text. Like, I think it's very important all week long that couples relate to each other in that sexual way, not just as a precursor to sex. So one of the biggest mistakes that long-term couples make is that they're like, hi, I love you, bye, did you do this, did you do that, did you call the plumber, did you get the groceries, did you feed the kids? And like, then they wait till right before it's time to have sex to show up sexual, and it's clumsy and it's awkward. Mm-hmm. The couple that is flirtatious all week long, and that, you know, he'll walk by and like, you know, grab her, and not in a gropey, yucky way, but just like in a quick one beat way, or the woman that walks by and kisses his neck and then is like, I gotta go, I'm off to take the kids somewhere, right? That's the couple that can move between that sort of public silly space and that more heated space. I spoke really to the second part of her question first, but the first part of her question about how to spice it up, take penetration off the table. I would go back to basics. I think that there's something very interesting about zeroing out and sort of old school, like rounding the bases. And if you think about dating, right? I mean, in case you're giving up on the first night, but like most people when they're dating, right? There's like an exploratory process where it's like, maybe I'll kiss and touch a little bit the first night. And then it builds up. And then what happens is once couples land in penetrative sex, they kind of hold there. They're like, okay, now we're banging. Like, now that's what we do.
Right.
But then it creates a very one note structure. And then you have people saying, we've been together 12 years and we don't mix it up. And it's like, right, because there's really just so much you can do. Really, you need to make sex about like one night oral, one night digital, one night mutual masturbation, one night let's just like kiss and get weird, and not necessarily have to have it end in an orgasm, and create a little like tension and momentum for next time.
I love that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, myself included, when you think sex, the act of, I mean, right, obviously penetration is it, and there are all these different options, but I've never really thought to focus or spend a whole night on something where you're like, this is what we're going to do, and just for the sake of variety. That's very interesting.
just for the sake of variety, I'll tell you too, it's also for all the men that are listening that struggle with erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation, or even delayed ejaculation. What research shows is when you only have sort of one way to skin a cat, you know, like when there's only one track that you do something, you become really non-resilient to dysfunction. If you think about the idea that, like, listen, maybe I'm going to get hard tonight, maybe I won't, but either way, we can have a cool experience. Or maybe I'm going to come really fast tonight, maybe I'm not going to come at all, but we can do other stuff and not tag it as a failure, but just be like, all right, tonight it was something different. It keeps you more resilient to any sort of body dysfunction also.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. Good stuff to keep in mind.
I would have never in a million years thought of that answer. So it's like so, so.
I mean, she's got a lot of education on her
side.
I mean,
just
it sounds
so
like
glad.
There were many years of schooling and.
Okay. Question number two. I wanted to reach out because my boyfriend and I have recently been going through a rough patch physically. We have been having this problem over the last couple of months, and he says it's because he doesn't feel attractive and therefore doesn't want to initiate anything physical. I tell him all the time how absolutely breathtaking he is and how sexy I find him. We both have joined gyms and are working out better ourselves and our image. However, I recently walked in on him pleasuring himself while I was in the house two rooms away. Because we have been having an intimacy issue, this really affected me and damaged my self-esteem. I find myself obsessing over the situation and wondering if he finds me attractive and more if he is happy with our relationship. Because truthfully, in this aspect of our relationship, I am not. He tells me I'm everything he could ever want, but his actions speak differently. What advice do you have for me?
First of all, your viewers are fire. I mean, that's like a really phenomenal and like,
we've got amazing listeners.
Yeah,
the
listeners
feedback we get,
incredible.
They like to give us updates. Sometimes, you know, if we read a mailbag, we get, I'd say a couple times a week, get an update like, hey, this worked or hey, that didn't work, but it's pretty cool.
Like I'm actually a little taken back at like the depth of thought. And that's very cool. That speaks to you guys. It's interesting. Rarely do I hear that men are feeling uncomfortable in their skin and therefore low desire. That's a very, very classically female thing to hear. So the first thing that comes up for me, and again, this is speculative because we're not talking to him,
right,
would be that something is going on with his erections, that he's having some sort of performance issue with her. And so not wanting to initiate and set up for failure in a way that he's not having when he's pleasuring himself. I also would like to say that masturbation is its own thing. And a lot of times I think people feel threatened by it. And I recognize that in this situation, because they're not having sex, that to see him sort of having an arousal response to something else feels very yucky. But instead of shaming him or making it like, wait, what's going on? What the fuck is up that you're doing this and not that? I think it's better just to be like, babe, like, cool. I'm really happy to see that you're connected to that part of yourself. Like, how do I get in on that? And so, you know, one of the telltale signs of psychogenic erectile dysfunction, right, which is my penis actually cooperates physiologically just fine, but I'm having an issue with someone, is that you'll see them sort of say, I'm happy to pleasure myself. I still have some sort of desire, but I don't want to enter an interaction and let this person down. And so, again, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I think she would be best off to, like, not make a giant deal, and she should just initiate. That would be my other piece. Like, throw caution to the wind and go for it.
There you go. I like just go for it.
Yeah, why not? I wanted to ask this question because we answered this question 2 weeks ago on our podcast, but I wanted to get your opinion, a professional opinion, because I feel like it would just probably help this person out because I don't even remember what the hell advice we
get. Are eager to remind everyone that we are professionally unqualified to give any of this advice. This is just us and our life experience and what's worked for us. So,
and I feel like we get a lot of questions similar to this. So I think it'll help a lot of our listeners. My wife and I recently had our first child last May. Since then, I could count on one hand the amount of times we've had sex. Since knowing my wife, she never masturbates, does not watch porn, and seemingly is never thrown off by not having a sex life. The troubling part of this is that when we first were together several years ago, we had a very healthy relationship in the bedroom. When I bring this up to her, it usually leads to how she feels about her body. She doesn't like the way she looks. She feels fat, generally just not in the mood. I'm at the point now where I've lost my drive to be romantic or flirty when trying to bring up having sex. For example, I just asked her point blank, want to have sex? I know the answer will be no, which then kills my self-esteem. She tells me she's still sexually attracted to me and the rest of our marriage is great. We get along so well, but as you both know, sex is a huge part of our relationship and ours is seemingly dead.
I mean, again, not to beat a dead horse, but I'm blown away by your listeners. Like, I'm really blown away.
They're amazing.
They are.
We love
our
listeners.
You're just amazing, guys. Kudos to both of you. Listen, top three desire inhibitors for females is feeling stressed and overwhelmed, feeling connected to their partner, and feeling comfortable in their body. And so women really, really need to feel comfortable in their own skin and need to feel low stress. And if you think about postpartum, like after a baby, you are both very stressed and uncomfortable in your body. So, I mean, I think that there are several things. And the fact that he's tagging her as never being super sexual in the first place, right? Like, she doesn't have a masturbation practice that he's aware of. It doesn't mean that she doesn't.
Right.
But I think he can do things like take some stuff off her plate. Hey, babe, like, you know what? You go out with your girls and I'm going to deal with the baby tonight. Or, you know what? I got stuff that is actually not directly related to sex, but that will speak to lowering her stress level. So too, lingerie. I'm a big fan of when body image is in play, cover like lingerie. It's there for a reason. There's a whole phenomenon called spectatoring where women will actually, like, instead of being in the moment and focused on what's at hand, they go into this self-evaluative stance of like, do I look fat? Can you see my cellulite or my boobs jiggling? Is my stomach all over the place? And they stop being connected. So I think that having them feel comfortable in their body, even if it's just by way of lingerie, is very helpful to get her to tune in. That's the body piece. And he can only take on so much of that. But the bigger piece I would say there is see how you can take stuff off her plate and form the mental emotional connection, even though it's not a direct line to sex. And I think this is that male female difference, right? That like, men are like, okay, what can I do to get to this? By the way, when I generalize, I love men. I'm raising three.
I'm not offended. Don't worry. You've been hitting home runs about me personally every time you've answered something. Okay, so I'm like, okay.
I always feel like I need to tell them I have three sons, good, loving husband, but like men are men. They're different.
Right.
But I feel like for men, usually the idea of let me take something off her plate or let me lower stress is like, hey, do you want me to cook dinner and I'll meet you in the bedroom in 30 minutes? And I always tell men they have to think sort of like, bigger picture, more meta. So like how to lower her stress over the course of a week so that on a Saturday night she shows up available instead of what's the immediate fix.
Right.
Is this a fancy way of telling me I should clean more?
That would be amazing.
I tell men, take the garbage out on Wednesday if you want to get it on Saturday.
That's very clever. Okay, so let's go with another question. Can women have casual sex with a consistent partner, or are we not just, or let me start over
here. It's contagious. I started it.
Can women have casual sex with a consistent partner, or are we just not cut out for it?
I love this question. So research shows that after we have sex, particularly females, there is a release of connection hormones and chemicals that bond us to that person. So already, like at a very biological neurochemical level, we're setting up for a challenge. I think that a lot of women like to think that they can, and the idea of casual sex, right, feels like very empowering and available. And some women can. I think as a general rule, though, women become attached, and whether it's for that neurochemical bonding that is out of their control, it just happens, or because at some very visceral level, right, the idea of very casual, very transient sex ends up feeling uncomfortable. So, the empowered woman in me would like to say like, yeah, but go ahead, Matt, say it.
I was going to ask you that uncomfortable feeling, is that more society based or nature based?
It's a great question. So I'll tell you the nature based explanation. The evolutionary psychology has looked at why women have a hard time either with casual sex and or why they don't want males to emotionally cheat. This is interesting. And the theory is that because we have to bond to a male partner for them to protect us, right? Like if you're thinking in a true evolutionary state, right? This idea of like you and I bond or you two bond and you will then take care of offspring and provide. And so if we're being casual, you no longer have that resource. Whereas for males, the idea at an evolutionary perspective is to spread their seed, right? How much can I procreate? And so that makes for a casual encounter biologically very, very available, right? Because sort of there is an evolutionary drive to just sort of say, okay, let me hit it here, 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 and here and spread my seed. So, you know, there is, and again, these are all theories. We can't go back and look at cavemen and like take the survey. But so I think that there's a biological component, but to your point, I also think we're raised, right? That
Sure. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I don't necessarily think everyone should just be banging everybody. I'm just curious.
No. But I mean, do you guys think, what do you think? Like, can women have the true casual sex?
I don't know. I'm not that kind of person. Not that I'm not that kind of person, but for me personally, I've only been able to have sex with a partner. I've never had a one night stand. I've never done anything like that. So I personally, I don't know.
Need that connection.
Yeah.
I'm just pleading the fifth.
My husband was a one night stand.
So love that for you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Listen, here's the other thing that I think from a societal level speaks to that is that most women need to feel some sort of emotional connection, right? To have a meaningful encounter and to feel comfortable. And that comes through having a connection. And right. Males just don't require that same level.
Right.
More efficient lovers, more efficient communicators, those men.
I'm like a sports car, baby.
Okay, we'll do one more question. This has been amazing. We need to have you back on because this is so good. I'm learning so much. I feel like we could have one episode just all of our fights.
Let's just start a podcast, yeah. Doc. We'll just have all three of us.
All right, last question. How can I, as a young adult male, overcome my porn addiction? Did you write this in?
I used my burner email account for that one.
I feel like we could do it like 18 episodes on this. Porn addiction is like a really up and coming thing over the past decade. And so what's happened is you're seeing all of these young guys. Think about, for everyone listening, like think about the way most people masturbate these days. They log on, right? Or I'm holding my imaginary phone, right? And you click around to what you like. And as soon as it gets boring, you click around to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Like long gone are the VHS days, right? Where like you have to watch a scene all the way through.
Right.
There was some real commitment involved.
Yeah. That was a commitment. Like you were holding tight, whether that turned you on or not. Like, you were in it to win it. Now we sort of have sexual ADD, and the more tailor-made we like what we like, right? And you can sort of get to just the very heart of what turns you on and then repetitively get imagery that looks like that. And so that's creating a tolerance for sexual stimulus. And so what's happening is you're seeing this addiction, either this need to up the ante to get off, or the body goes on strike and is like, yeah, I'm not coming right now because I need a whole lot more stimulation visually and auditory, if you're listening, to get off. So really the best answer for someone that's struggling with any kind of compulsive porn is to go to an abstain model, not dissimilar to if you drank too much or if you partied too hard. Like you got to go to zero, because these are the people, right, that can't sort of just have a beer or just do a, you know, whatever you're into, right?
You sound like you would be fun in college, Doc.
So it's really go to zero and let your body come down from the level of stimulation it needs to have an arousal response and then start over again. And again, porn is not for everyone, like anything isn't for everyone. So to the point that it is interrupting your functioning is the point that you're consuming it too much.
I think you mentioned earlier, sorry, that, you know, watching some porn can be healthy. Can you explain for our listeners the difference with what you just said now to how you could, watching porn can be healthy?
Totally. So if you use porn as a way to stay inspired, as a way to develop a fantasy bank, right? Like, I mean, you guys are really hot and you've been married 3 years, but like in another 20 years, you'll still be just as hot, right? But 20 years in, right, you're going to need some sort of additional bank of content to stay a little bit engaged, right? And that doesn't mean that you should be disassociated the whole time from your partner. And every time she bends over, you're fantasizing about 18 other things. But it means that like we should be able to toggle back and forth between our real life partner and some fantasies that turn us on, that get us off. If you're using them while you masturbate, right, you develop sort of a neural network of arousal to this content that your body's like, oh, I know exactly what to do when I think about this. So for women who have a hard time getting in the mood, going to their bank of fantasies is a really good way to help them go from silly or neutral or I'm a mom to now I'm sexual. And same for guys who struggle with any sort of erectile dysfunction issues that are not biologically based, right? Using fantasies, using the stuff that you watch when you're turned on and in a low pressure environment by yourself, really cues your brain to get to a hot space. So porn, when it's either inspiring and or like helping you get in the mood, super adaptive, to the point that you're watching so much of it that your partner no longer is enough stimulation and or you can't ejaculate because you've created such a high threshold, not good.
Okay, that makes sense.
Very, very interesting. We don't have much time left. Do you have anything left in the bag that we
can
get to?
There's nothing left in the bag. I don't know if you have any questions.
I was just going to ask you, while we're on the topic of porn, my friends and I have joked about this, obviously offline. There's a weird sort of phenomenon that I've experienced, and I think a lot of guys have, that when you're watching porn, as soon as you finish, it's like this, get it away from me. It's disgusting. What have I done with my life? I feel so gross, and I hate myself. Is that like a common thing?
Yes, I think women have it too. So listen, yeah, look. for a lot of us, when we masturbate, when we're watching porn, we're going to the I was going to say darkest, but that has a negative connotation. We're going to the rawest place in our brain of what turns us on, right? We're going to the most unfiltered part of our sexual self. And some people can push a line really far. And you're doing it paired in a hyper-aroused state. And at the point that you ejaculate, physiologically, it's called the resolution phase. It's your body coming all the way back down to neutral, right? So it's like, I'm all the way aroused. And then you come back down. And as you come back down to neutral, your brain also checks out of that high arousal state. And the stuff that turned you on may not be as arousing once you're on the other side of that resolution stage. And by the way, not only is it common, it also goes to show, like, I have a lot of patients that will come in very concerned about their fantasies. Like, I fantasize about this, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything, right? And so for many people, it's important to remember that, like, the shit that you fantasize about doesn't necessarily mean it's what you want to do in real life. It doesn't even necessarily mean that it's indicative of anything other than that it's interesting and cool when no one's looking. So yes, that's sort of like, I'm getting gross and pushing the line and getting really raw. And then when it's over, I'm sort of like, what was that?
Right.
Sorry. What? We're not talking about that. And you close the laptop and get all weird. Yeah. Very common.
Okay. You're normal, babe.
That's the first time anyone's ever affirmed my normalcy. I feel very, very strongly about it now. I would love to continue doing this for hours and hours. I can promise you, if you'll have us, this will not be the last time we do this. This was absolutely amazing. Before I let you go, is there any bit of advice that you can sort of put out in a general way that helps people, something, a go-to that you tell most of your patients or a lot of people, something they can do on a daily practice or to really start fixing things?
Between each other, within themselves?
All of the above.
Let's say like couples.
Yeah, right? Let's go for couples.
To help your, you know, healthy marriage.
I think that it's really, really important that couples continue to relate to each other in micro moments of flirtation and sexuality. Because I think as life goes forward, people wear so many hats and they become co-partners in life and they run households together, et cetera. And they stop sort of relating to each other in that exciting and sexy way. And so I think creating once a day, like passing, I'm talking like 2 seconds, when you kiss goodbye with a quick tongue, when you walk by and grab something, send a wink, send a sexy photo. Be mindful and intentional about keeping that energy alive in a very sort of available, quick way. This I think every couple should be doing. I also think individually, everyone should have a masturbation practice. It is sexual exercise. It keeps you fit. If you went to the gym and you said, I want a six pack, right? They tell you, we got to work the core. If you want healthy sexuality, like, you have to engage in sexual exercise, and masturbation is really that. Again, in moderation. That would be my individual and couple piece.
It's very unfortunate that I cannot get six pack abs from masturbating because.
Listen, if we find a way, then we're getting
close. We love it. Doc, where can anybody listening find you and follow you?
Yep, they can go to Instagram at Dr. Lisa Paz, or they can go to my website, drlisapaz.com, and either has all roads into me.
Good. Well, everyone needs to go follow you and check you out because this was so, so amazing and so informative. We have to do it again.
No, I completely agree. This was a blast.
I'd love to. You guys are gorgeous and smart and amazing, and your listeners, just based on these questions, like, you guys are doing something right. It's awesome. This is great.
We appreciate it. We appreciate you and your time, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Doc.
Good. Thank you, guys.
Cool.
Amazing.
That was awesome.
So good.
I didn't know what to expect, but just, and I think the biggest thing about Dr. Paz was her delivery, and it wasn't threatening. It wasn't condescending. She didn't make me feel stupid.
It didn't make you feel dumb or it was comfortable. And it was talking about masturbation and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is just totally normal.
That shelf is white. Yes. Masturbation is good. It was very, very clear cut, very, very cool. And I mean, we've talked about it from the start. Like, our goal, if there really has been one, is to sort of destigmatize talking about a lot of these issues. And that's what she does for a living.
Right. She's like a doctor in this. She's certified in all of this.
And a boss bitch. That was really, really cool.
She's
and
a babe. Like, she does it all. I want to be Dr. Paz.
It was very, very, very cool. We will definitely do our best to bring her back to you, the Bear With Us faithful. In the meantime, please refill that Bear With Us mailbag, bearwithuspod@gmail.com. Make sure you're liking, subscribing, telling a friend.
Subscribe to our YouTube, mother effers. Then you won't miss out on the early drop of the episodes.
There you go. If you subscribe on YouTube, you get it a little bit early, and you can tell all of your friends how bad they suck because they didn't hear it as soon as you did. let's keep spreading the word. We've got some cool stuff coming your way. We're, of course, always working on evolving this here podcast. But this is the first time we've had a guest in a while. I know we've talked about doing a few more, making it a little bit more of a regular occurrence, so we'll see how it all works out. And it's basically on you. I'm putting all the blame and weight on you, the listeners, because if this worked and we get good feedback, if we get good feedback and we have great numbers and people go, hey, we loved when you had Dr. Paz on the show, then we go, oh, now we know what to do more of.
More Dr. Paz. We need more of her.
I couldn't agree.
Maybe it's like a monthly thing.
I think at that point, we're probably going to start giving her money. Yeah. She's got a career. She's like wildly successful.
Yeah.
But I definitely, this was fun. I really enjoyed this.
It was great. You guys make sure you refill the mailbag, like Matt said. Follow, subscribe, comment. Give us a rating. We need a rating.
Yeah,
from
I think
you guys.
The ratings on the podcast platform. Yeah, and Leah's shaking her boobs for those are definitely for YouTube ratings. I don't know if it's quite as enjoyable audibly speaking. Just hearing me say she's shaking her boobs doesn't have quite the same effect. But either way, we're trying to grow this thing, and we can't do it without your help. But we appreciate every step of the journey thus far.
Can I just say that Dr. Paz said something that we already know, but I don't think we say it enough. We try to say it enough, but we don't. That you guys are so incredible. The fact that she was so impressed by all of your questions, I'm like, oh, these are just the questions from her listeners. Like, of course, you know, they always send in amazing questions. But for her, she's a doctor and she deals with this stuff. And she's like, these questions are incredible. And we need to thank you again. Like, you guys are so amazing. And without you guys, we would not be doing this. So thank you so, so, so much. Keep it up. And I'm just so grateful.
Well, unfortunately, we are just about out of time. Yes. We could go on all day, but we're out of time, and we will be back next week. So goodbye forever.
Bear with us.